Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
We'll go to Genesis 50, and we'll end the book of Genesis this evening. The chapter is a pretty simple chapter, chapter 50, and I just have pulled one thing out of it that I would concentrate on here a little bit. Hebrews chapter 11. We love God, right? We do. We're a minority in this world. And then yet, I think the depth of what I see in your lives, it's a good depth of loving the Lord. I'm blessed by that. I watch it. I listen to it. He's going to carry us through. You know, he's going to take us all the way through. Tim's testimony was sweet, you know, that it's about God. Just about God. We face all these things, but he's the one that's going to take us through. Someday we'll be with him face to face, and he promises that. And I believe that he's going to come soon. Here in Hebrews chapter 1, I'll start, or 11, I'll verse 1. I just want to start here, which you're familiar with this, and work up to a certain part of this chapter. Faith is the substance. It is the assurance. It is the confirmation of things hoped for. I pray that we're hoping today. It's not the type of hope that I hope this will happen. It's a hope of reality. There's a different hope for us as Christians. I hope that Jesus is going to come back with a question mark. No, our hope is that he's going to come back. And that takes us through. There's a world of difference. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence. It is the conviction. It is the confidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. We're going to see in a moment in chapter 52 people that beyond all expectations truly believe that God is going to take this group of people that are in Egypt, in the world, and pull them out of the world. And one is pretty assured of it because Joseph is still involved and he's there at second in command with Pharaoh. And he says, we're going to see as he is dying, he says, take my body up to the promised land. But Joseph, towards the end of the chapter, is going to say, take my body up to the promised land. And he's looking forward with not as much assurance as Jacob had, I believe, personally. And so there is this hope, there's this reality, there's this evidence in their lives that to the point when they were leaving this earth, take my bones up there, because it meant something to them. This promised land, and we have a promised land. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You know, they want to say the Big Bang. To me, it says by the word of God. What do you guys think? What are we going to believe, the Big Bang? Or are we going to believe the word of God? We're going to believe that he reached down, it appears into clay and formed man? Or are we going to believe that we slithered out of the earth when something happened, or out of the water when something happened that way? The Bible tells us very simple, in the beginning, God. Chapter 1, all we have to do is read and we'll see right there. It's right there. We don't have to really complicate it. People complicate that too much. It's just the word of God. You know, there it was. The morning and the evening made one day. What's one day mean? One day. And so you add it up and there is how many? 6 days, you know. On the seventh day, he did what? Rested. Pretty simple. Not very complicated at all in that way. If we go to the Word, we stand on the Word and say, hey, this is the Word of God. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. There's another indication. It was the work of God. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice, a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness, testimony, that he was righteous because he believed by faith, simply by faith, that this is the way to go. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. We're speaking of him even today. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see God and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch's one of the guys I want to meet. I want to say, okay, what was that like? You know, You know, it's like a picture of the rapture. What was that like? You were there, then you weren't there. What was it all about? And maybe he'll share. Not sure. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith has to be in everything that we do. And Tim's testimony, I heard, came to a point by faith. God used a girl in his life, but then I heard, and maybe he would agree, there's this by faith that took place in his life. And by faith, he's standing that today. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and we must believe that he is. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's important that we diligently seek him. And I asked today in your life, what's your devotional habit like this week? In the last 7 days, have you been in the Word of God? Do you get up whenever you get up? Do you spend time, or if your best time to read is at night, do you spend time there if it's in the middle of the day over your lunch period, your lunchtime? Okay, you know, do you spend time there? No matter what, I'm going to get into the Bible. And it's important that we do that. And if we're not doing it, we must be careful, because he rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen? It's a promise. If we seek him, it's not a works type thing. It's I get to. Lord, I just get to worship you. I get to walk with you. I get to fellowship with you. I get to hear your voice. You know, if you're saved today, you've heard the voice of God. Isn't that amazing? God has spoken directly to you. It's no small thing. It's not by just chance. It's not by chance. It's God spoke directly to you. He could have used a person. He could have used the TV. He could have used the radio. He could have used the tape. He could have a CD, or he could have used anything. But God, there by the Spirit, worked in your life, and you came to that point. You heard his voice. You realized your need. I'm lost without him. So without faith, it is impossible to please him, but he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, another example, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Anybody been over to the ark? You know, if you haven't gone there, it's amazing. Can I tell you a little secret? This is the way to do it. When you turn into the parking lot there on the ark site, don't look over to your left, okay? Because over there is the ark. You don't want to spoil it, you know? Just go like this. Then walk up, pay your bill, and then get on the bus. Don't look over to your left, okay? And then wait until they get you all the way. Don't even look when you're driving the bus. Don't even look. Just keep your head down. And then wait till they pull you right up, and right there before you, you look at this thing. And you, oh my goodness, he could have put animals in there. You know, it just blows your mind. So that's Bill Goodrich's way of looking at the ark. It really is. Became heir of righteousness according to faith by Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He was crazy. They thought he was crazy. He probably thought he was crazy at certain times, but he continued on by faith because he saw something better. He knew, he believed in his heart, something better. Something better is waiting. It's powerful. It's powerful. It moved each one of these people. It moves us. We see something better. We understand that something's coming. And that's a reality. That's a hope. That's a hope. I'm going to embarrass this man right here, Craig. Craig is one of the humblest guys I know. Now he's going to get all prideful. He really is. But he's a blessing to me because he always takes me to that hope when I talk with him. That hope. We're going to be there, Bill. We're going to make it someday. We're going to be there. Yeah, Craig, I believe you. I know that's true. And so by faith, it goes on here in verse 8, Abraham, again, another guy, obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He was going to go. By faith, he was moved to do that. He saw something better. He knew there was more than what was there at that point. And he went out. Notice he went out, not knowing where he was going. That's an interesting thing if you ever have to do that in your life. Went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Note that. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He dwelt there in the land of promise, a foreign country. And these guys, we're going to see, Joseph and Jacob, kept their eyes on the fact of that promised land, that land that we see there, the country that they knew that God had blessed. And even in death, they wanted to return there. In verse 10, it says, "For he waited, Abraham waited, for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Are we waiting, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? Are we waiting? Are we on our tiptoes, believing? Does it motivate us every single day? Does it drive us to realize that we will be with him? We'll be with him forever and ever and ever. And that's a promise. We're just going through and we're learning and we're being used as he wants us to be used. But he is the maker. He's the builder. God is. And by faith, verse 11, Sarah got into the action here. Herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Wow. God is faithful. It's a promise. He's going to take us to be there. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, verse 12, when born as many were born as many of the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Then look at verse 13. These all died in faith. We're going to see Jacob die in faith. We're going to see Joseph die in faith. It may be an encouragement. If these men saw back then, and they believed that there was a promised land, they had to be in the promised land. I believe they looked beyond that promised land to something even better, being with God. Today, there's a promise for us, and there's a promised land. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Embrace them. Notice these action words. Assured of them. Embrace them. Confess that they were strangers, pilgrims, a temporary resident on the earth. For those who say such things plainly, declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Are we seeking a heavenly homeland? Are we keeping our eyes on that? Because I believe that he's coming soon. But there can be challenges before he gets here. In verse 15, it truly, if they, notice this, there's a warning. And if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. See, Jacob and Joseph, even in their death, became a witness of the promise that was in their hearts. Because it was the promise given to Abraham. It was the promise that went from Abraham to Isaac. It was the promise that went from Isaac to Jacob. It was the promise that went from Jacob to Joseph. It's the promise that goes down through the centuries and centuries, and they're still a witness to us today. And that's an example for us. If they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, if they want to embrace, they wanted to stay in the world, they were saying, take me out of the world, get me out of Egypt. Even in death, definitely if we die to ourselves, Lord, take us into that kingdom. Open it up to us more and more. From which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. Unfortunately, I've seen too many people return because they lose the vision. They forget all the promises that were there, all the people, even as we continue through here. Notice what it says in verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. How many here tonight, we look for a heavenly place to dwell? We do, don't we? So it's a wonderful promise there. Surely he comes soon is found all the way through the scriptures. An encouragement to keep our eyes on heavenly things. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 50 with that in mind. And let's look at the narrative that is here just briefly. I look at this and I walked away as I was studying it today and just even more so in my heart saying, God has brought me out of the world and God will definitely take me finally out of this world. Just believing that. And that keeps me going forward. That keeps me in the midst of it. That keeps me going day in and day out. Verse 1 of chapter 50. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him. Notice verse 33 of chapter 49. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Jacob commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were required for him, for such are the days required for those who are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. Look at the influence that Jacob had, the influence that Joseph had in the midst of the world and the worldly people. Verse 4, now when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the hearing of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear. My father made me swear, saying, behold, I am dying in my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Cana, the promised land. There you shall bury me. That's a witness, I think. I really do. Even in his death, he wanted to be back in that promised land. He knew that there was something special about that. Even in his death, he's showing faith, that he has faith in the word of God and the promises of God. Now, therefore, please let me go up and bury my father, and I will come back. And Pharaoh, verse 6, said, go up and bury your father as he made you swear. So Joseph went up. Notice the favor because of Joseph's life, I believe, his lifestyle. So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went all the servants of Pharaoh and the elders of his house and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all the house of Joseph, his brothers, his father's house, only their little ones, their flocks, and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great gathering. Can you imagine all this gathering going on, leaving Egypt, heading east, going up northeast into the promised land there? Then, it's a very dry journey. And then it says in verse 10, then they came to the threshing floor of Etad, which is beyond the Jordan, and there mourned there with a great and very solemn lamentation. He observed 7 days of mourning for his father. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Etad, they said, this is a great mourning of the Egyptians. Therefore, its name was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond the Jordan. So his sons, look at verse 12. So his sons did for him just as he had commanded them. How important that is, you know. The sons brought together in unity, Joseph leading the way, but all the sons come together, promising and honoring their father that way. For his sons, verse 13, carried him to the land of Cana and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham bought. And you remember that in Genesis, Abraham bought with him, with the field from Ephron, the Hittite, as property for a burial place. And after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who went up with him to bury his father. Then I love what happens in verses 15 through 21. I just love what goes on. And then verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. What does that tell us? They're still carrying guilt, right? They're still carrying guilt in the midst of that, you know? And so they turned to Joseph, and verse 16, they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, sure that they did this, but maybe it's true, but Scripture doesn't give us an insight. Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin. That's a good thing to do. For they did evil to you, which they definitely did. Now please forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of your father. Very important. Today it is important for us that we forgive the sins of those that have sinned against us. It's very important. If we don't, it captures us. Sometimes we carry even people that have now passed on, they're no longer here, and their sins capture us. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's a powerful thing when we learn to forgive. Because as we go through life, I don't know about you guys, maybe you got a special life, but sometimes people haven't liked me. I can't imagine why. I really can't. And they've done sometimes the weirdest things, you know, and all in those things. I can't imagine why. But I've learned that I have to forgive. Got to forgive. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I try to live my life by the power of the Holy Spirit, that if I'm walking down a street one day and I see an individual coming my way, there's not going to be a thought in my mind, not in my attitude, I want to cross the other side. I don't want to meet that person because that's wrong. If you got that for some reason, I'm not trying to beat you up or anything like that, but I encourage you to take it to the foot of the cross, leave it there. Because Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A lot of times people hurt us, they don't really understand what they do. Sometimes they do understand what they do, but they don't really understand what they do. Does that make sense? They don't really understand. And so that is where we have to find that place. Or it captures us. I think that's part of the thing that was going on here. They were still captured in their sin. But Joseph is amazing. Please forgive the trespasses of your servants, the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. I just love this man, Joseph. He's amazing. The brothers still misunderstood the motives of Joseph. They did not understand his love or his faith in God. He had this love for them. He cried over them. Remember when he was revealing himself to them. And look at verse 18. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. Good for them. And they said, behold, we are your servants. So they're submitting to him. And so Joseph could have said, now I got you guys. I'm going to put you in the mud pits. No, look what he does in verse 19. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. He's not saying that he is God. He's saying what is true for you and I. He was in God's will for God's purposes. He understood that. And so he could look at what was going on and saying, got to be the will of God. I can trust that. Why? Because what does Romans 8:28 say? Let's say it together. All things work together for good for those who love God, those that are called according to his purposes. Right? Did I get it right? The call. I forgot the call. I did say the call, right? I didn't? The call. Thank you, Adrian. Adrian always says, Bill, did you think about this? And I listened to Adrian very closely because he has read the Bible. How many times now again, Adrian? 93. I'm impressed. And I'm blessed by that. I really am. Joseph wept when they spoke it to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, verse 20, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for what? Good. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. And that's where Romans 8:28 works together for good, for those who love God and are the called according to his purposes in that way. Look at that verse. That's amazing. Verse 19. Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. I'm in God's will. He's placed me here for the purposes that he has for this nation, for this group of people, for his overall kingdom. But as for you, you meant evil against me. You did. You really did. But God meant it for good. God used it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to make many people alive. In 1 John, it says three powerful words. God is what? Love. Okay? That means that everything that he does is because of his love. When he loves us, it's because of his love. When he brings reproof upon us, it's because of his love. When he corrects us, it's because of his love. When he rebukes us, it's because of his love. When he brings justice on the earth, it's because of his love. It's because of his love and who he is. Love says yes, love says no. You parents have learned that real quick, haven't you? The sooner we learn that, the sooner our kids learn that, the better off that they are. We see this again. It's an amazing thing. God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Now, therefore, verse 21. Do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph is an amazing example of Jesus Christ. He's a type of Jesus all the way through. And so he was going to provide for them. Jesus provides for us. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, verse 22. He and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, the children of Machir. The son of Manasseh were also brought up on Joseph's knees. Look at verse 24. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. Isn't that wonderful? A promise. He believed in it. He really believed in it. As I was going through the study here, and I'll just share some things about it, I just thought, Lord, as it spoke to my heart, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore. Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham, and all the others look into a country that they didn't see, but they stood upon that because it was a promise from God in their lives. He closes it out, the book here, verse 26, Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. There he was there for hundreds of years until they left Egypt, and they carried him all the way into the promised land. What a journey that was in that way. So I was thinking about this. You know, the overriding lesson that I see in this chapter as we close out Genesis, God will visit us and take us out of this world. Amen? Do we believe that? Now, he does it here now. John chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus said, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. He's doing that now. He's taken us out. He has taken us out of the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's this process that's going on. He's taking us each day more and more out of the world. I can honestly say I'm different than I was 20 years ago. Can't you guys? I pray that we can say we're different than 10 years ago, 5 years ago. I pray that we can say we're different than a year ago, because God's working in our lives. He's just doing that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us how much we're at no longer of the world. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so we're new today. And that's a promise that we see. And I looked at this and saw this. God will surely visit you. He is visiting us. But then there's the future. Go to the Gospel of John, please, with me. We're going to travel a little bit through Scripture here before we close. John chapter 14. Now he has taken us out of the world, but there's the promise. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. It's personal, isn't it? How many of us believe that? We do, because we trust in the Word of God. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And look at verse 4. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. We know the way. It's a promised land for you and I. Very simple study tonight, but I just got into this thing about God will bring us and has taken us out of this world. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 17, he comes and said, you know, we see that. Let's go back there. Revelation chapter 19, just for a moment. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. And again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. It's coming, isn't it? Someday, we're going to be there at this wedding feast. Jesus is going to be the groom. We will be the bride. He goes on in verse 8, he says, And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, that's the church, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to take us out of here. And he said to them, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Lord, the Word of God, Jesus. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of fierceness, of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wonderful, isn't it? He's coming again. He's going to come again. And then I saw, verse 17, an angel standing in the sun. And he said with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of the heaven, come up and gather yourself for the supper of the great God. There's going to be a time. He's going to return. Jesus, in chapter 22, verse 20, says, surely I am coming quickly. And what did John say? Even so, Lord, come quickly. What does the world look like? It's not a very good picture, is it? We're real close to it. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at what he's brought us out of just for a moment. Verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, chapter 2, verse 15. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is what? Passing away. And the lust of it also, but he who does the will of God does what? Abides forever. Abides forever. That's an amazing promise. Truly for a person that knows Jesus Christ, they will live forever. What's our life to look at? Let's close here. Romans chapter 12. Go back there. Because he has done this work in our lives, today he is removing us from this place and we're going to that promised land. Just a picture of what our lives are to look like here as we wait for him. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by us abiding in Christ, John chapter 15 tells it how we are to do it. We abide in Christ. Paul says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is how we are to live. Amen? We live this way by the power of the Holy Spirit because he has taken us out of the world. He's removing us even further from the world as he's transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. And someday, because we look to that country, we look to that place in heaven where we're going to be, then it just motivates us in a certain way. I'm going to be before the Lord. I'm going to see him someday. I want to enjoy that even today. Look what it says in verse 3. It goes on, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. This is what our walk now is to look like on earth. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them, our gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. As we're waiting to get with the Lord, allow the gifts that he has used us to be used, given us to be used. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, given preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. That's a lot, isn't it? This is our call. We can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit as we abide in Christ. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And notice verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with those that you want to live peaceably with. What's it say? All. Everyone. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. That's how we live our lives, because we've got our eyes fixed upon a promise, a country that is beyond this place. And so that's just something I saw out of that. Our resting place is seen in Revelation 22 and 21, where we're going to be able to see the Lord face to face. And I believe, according to Revelation, he's going to give us a new name. Mine's Aloysius. I've been told by the Holy Spirit, McGillicuddy. Aloysius McGillicuddy. See, because of that, my white stone's going to be bigger than yours. Because Aloysius McGillicuddy is, you know, anyway. Is God good? He really is. Simple Bible study. But there, Joseph and Jacob, to me, were such a blessing because they looked beyond in their physical body. Their faith to do that represents what they saw beyond that. They saw a country, they saw God, and they saw that they would be with him, I believe, forever and ever someday. And so will we. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just the simplicity of your word. I pray that it would be an encouragement that, Lord, we know where we're going. Thank you for the examples of people over and over by faith did unusual things because they just trusted that you were in control. So we pray that you would just bless us in a very special way. Bless our time, Lord, of fellowship now. In Jesus' name.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.